I'd ask you to turn, please, to the book of Numbers, and read earlier, part of Numbers chapter 22, and it's that general part of the book of Numbers that I want to think about today, particularly what we're told in Numbers chapter 22, 23, and 24. Experts and consultants and specialists are trotted out again and again on TV and on radio to explain things to us lesser experts. Often those who are put forward are godless people, people who know nothing about spiritual truth. People who have no room for God in their thoughts. And there were people like that around in Bible times as well. And for your encouragement today, I want to speak about one of those people, the man that we've read about in Numbers chapter 22, a man whose name was Balaam. Most of what we're told in the scriptures about this man, Balaam, is found in these three chapters in Numbers 22, 23, and 24. But he's mentioned again in chapter 31 of Numbers, and he's also mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, he's mentioned in Joshua, he's mentioned in Nehemiah, he's mentioned in Micah, in 2 Peter, and in Jude, and all in a bad way. The Bible has nothing good to say about this man called Balaam. Well, I want to think, first of all, about the storyline that we have here in these three chapters. I've only read part of it, Numbers 22 to 24. By the time we get to the start of Numbers 22, those 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness have come to an end. There's no more wilderness wanderings beyond what we have here at the start of Numbers 22. The God's people are now camped in the plains of Moab. They're on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. And it would be from that place that they would enter into the promised land when the right time came. God would do a great miracle. He would stop the flow of the River Jordan so that they could pass through the river on dry ground, and God would bring down the walls of that great walled city of Jericho that they could see across from where they were camped, or that's where they were. They were on the side of the Jordan. They were across from Jericho. But before that would happen, there was a threat to the Israelites, and the threat came from the Moabites. We're told that Balak, who was the king of Moab at that time, he was exceedingly afraid of the Israelites. He saw how many of them there were, and it frightened the life out of him. We're told that Moab at that time was sick with dread. They greatly feared these Israelites that had appeared right beside them. But they had no need to fear, because scriptures tell us that God had forbidden the Israelites to attack Moab. We're told that in Deuteronomy chapter 2. But either Balak didn't know that, or he didn't believe it, but he sought to protect his land, not by engaging in military warfare, but by engaging in spiritual warfare. And he did so by trying to recruit Balaam of Mesopotamia, a man who was a specialist, a man who was thought to be able to do things that nobody else could do. He was a man who was believed to have the ability to influence the gods. a man who could use various animal sacrifice rites to influence the gods and also to tell what was going to happen in the future. Balak knew of this man. He knew of his reputation. And he believed that this man might be able to exert his influence over the God of the Israelites, so that rather than the Israelites being blessed as they seem to be being blessed, that instead they would be cursed. So Balak seeks to recruit Balaam that he would get the God of Israel to put a curse upon the Israelites. And he sends a delegation to bring this international celebrity prophet to the land of Moab. And as he sends this delegation, he expresses great confidence in the abilities of Balaam. Chapter 22, verse 6, he says, "I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So this man, Balaam, he was regarded as the man. He was the expert. He was the top man in his field. And Balak was prepared to send his princes on a long journey to recruit Balaam from where he was and bring him all the way to the land of Moab. God, however, spoke to Balaam. He spoke to this man and he told him, first of all, that he wasn't to go. And he says in verse 12 of chapter 22, "You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." And that was the message that Balaam gave to the princes of Moab. But when they went back and reported that to their king, he didn't give up. And he sent a second, more high-ranking delegation. And this time, God allowed Balaam to go with those princes of Moab. But he was told that he must only speak what God told him to speak. Well, Balaam was pleased with this because Balaam wanted to go. He liked to be able to display his powers on the world stage. And more than anything else, he liked to be paid for displaying his powers. And he hoped to be able to put a curse upon the Israelites and to gain the huge wealth that would be his through doing that. And so that was what was in his heart. He saw this as being a means to great gain. But we're told that God was angry with him. And God told him that he could go, but that he must only speak what God said. But Balaam thought, "Well, I'll go and I'll speak what will get me paid." And so Balaam heads off on his journey to the land of Moab, and it is an eventful journey. We're told how three times the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against Balaam. And the angel of the Lord had his sword drawn in his hand, threatening the life of Balaam. Three times we're told that the donkey on which Balaam was riding, the donkey saw the angel of the Lord with his drawn sword. The donkey thought it's not a good idea to keep going forward, and so he turned off the path and into a field. And Balaam wasn't pleased. And he beat his donkey. And then further on, the angel of the Lord is there in a narrow place with a wall on each side, and the donkey is able to avoid the angel of the Lord by going right up to the wall, and he crushes the foot of Balaam against the wall in doing so. And Balaam beats his donkey again with his staff. And then on the third occasion, the angel of the Lord is there with his drawn sword. And it's such a narrow place that there's no way of escape. If the donkey goes forward, it'll be disaster. And so the donkey stops and he lies down and he refuses to go any further. Balaam is angry and he strikes the donkey with his staff. And then God opens the mouth of the donkey. And the donkey speaks to Balaam. And God also opens the eyes of Balaam so that Balaam can see what the donkey had been able to see. Balaam sees that his life had been in great, great danger. And then the Lord allows him to continue on his journey, but gives him strict instructions. He says, "Only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak." And Balaam goes forward, and the sight of the angel of the Lord with his drawn sword has convinced him that he really can only speak what the Lord says. Balaam gets to Moab. He's met by King Balak. And soon Balaam gets down to doing what Balaam does. Seven altars are prepared. Balaam offers a bull and a ram on each of those seven altars. And he seeks to consult with the Lord. And God gives him a message. God gave him a message of blessing. Blessing for the Israelites. Not cursing upon the Israelites. And King Balak is not amused that he has come with this message of blessing upon these people he is afraid of. And so Balak takes him to a different place, and he thinks maybe a different location will produce a different result. But the result, the second time, is exactly the same. Again, it's a message of blessing upon Israel that Balaam declares, because that is what God has said to him. Balak doesn't give up, and he tries one more place, a different location. And by this time, Balaam has realized that the Lord isn't going to curse the Israelites. And we're told that on the third occasion, chapter 24, verse 1, he did not go, as at other times, to seek to use sorcery. Doesn't bother with all the hocus-pocus stuff and examining the livers of dead animals and all that stuff that he was famous for. And we're told that the Spirit of God simply came upon him. Spirit of God comes upon this false heathen prophet. And God speaks through the mouth of Balaam. And again, his words make it abundantly clear that the will of God is that Israel will be blessed and not cursed. And his third prophecy ends with the words at the end of chapter 24, verse 9, "Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you." Blessed is he who blesses Israel, and cursed is he who curses Israel. Well, by that time, King Balak, he had had enough. And he realized that this man, Balaam, was doing the very opposite of what he was intending to pay him huge amounts of money for. And so he tells him to go home, to go back to where he had come from. And he tells him he's going to go home empty-handed because he hasn't produced the goods. He has failed to do what he had been called in to do. Balaam, however, wasn't completely finished. God wasn't finished. God still had further words of truth for Balaam to speak. And in his final prophetic message in chapter 24 from verse 15 onwards, Balaam speaks of the future, and he speaks of a great future ruler that will emerge out of Israel. Words that refer to the coming of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this incident with this foreign prophet, Balaam, it ends there at chapter 24 in the last verse. It says, "So Balaam rose and departed and returned to his place. Balak also went his way." A strange sequence of events. And I want to think about a few lessons that we can draw from this strange incident involving Balaam, the celebrity prophet. What can we learn from these things? Well, I want you to think about, first of all, about what it says to us about the seer who couldn't see. Balaam was known as a seer. He could see things that other people couldn't see. He could see into the future. He could examine the animal remains and he could say, "Ah, I can tell that this is the way things are going to be." He was known as a seer or a diviner or a soothsayer. But in what we're told about Balaam here in the Bible, Balaam was a seer who couldn't see. This incident with the angel of the Lord and Balaam and the donkey. Here is this famous, high-powered, international prophet who is known, among other things, as being a man who sees. Balaam is a seer. He claims that he can see into the future, and yet he doesn't see the angel of the Lord with his drawn sword standing in front of him. He doesn't see the angel. It's his donkey that sees the angel. It's his donkey that acts appropriately. The donkey proves to be more of a seer than Balaam was. And it's only when the Lord opens the eyes of Balaam that he sees things as they really are. And here in this incident, God is showing Balaam up for the fool that he really was. People looked up to him as this great man, this man with these great powers, this man, and it's worth spending your money on this man. God shows him up as the fool that he was. Balaam was an ass. And he was saved by his ass. He was regarded as this great man. This man with powers that other people would have loved to have the powers that he had. He was a man who could influence the gods, so it was said. And here the true God is demonstrating that Balaam's donkey can see better than he can. And Balaam's donkey could speak better than Balaam could. And we're to draw a heart from that event. Let us not be intimidated, and let us not be discouraged by all of the present day experts and specialists and consultants, those who speak against the things of God. They are like Balaam. They do not see what is there. They don't see things as they really are. They are blind to something that's all important, and they do not see it. They are blinded by their unbelief. They are blinded by their worldliness. And God is well able to show them up as being the fools that they are. Balaam, the expert, the big man, the great Balaam, the celebrity international prophet, was a fool. It was the donkey that spoke the truth. It was the donkey that saw things the way they really were. And in some ways, we are called upon to be like Balaam's donkey. In all the abortion discussions that are going on at present, there's no end of celebrities and experts and politicians who are spouting their nonsense. And we need to be like the donkey. The donkey who sees and speaks about the great danger that threatens. There is a great danger that threatens. And those who have the eyes of Scripture can see those things. But there are many people regarded as experts, and they're utterly blind to them. And they can only see things from a human perspective. But there's a much, much bigger picture that needs to be seen. Balaam was the seer who couldn't see. And there's a lot of Balaams around these days. God humbled Balaam. I want you to think in the second place about the fact that Balaam was compelled to speak the truth. He was compelled to speak the truth. Didn't want to speak the truth. He wanted to speak what would bring him profit, but God compelled him to speak the truth. We sang from Psalm 12 about the kind of words that are spoken in society when the godly cease, when the faithful disappear. David says, the tongue that speaks proud things, those who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? And that's the spirit of Balaam. Balaam was a man who earned his money largely through the words that he spoke. And he loved his money. He loved to earn money from the words he spoke. And that's why he wanted to go all the way to Moab, because he hoped it would be a big earner for him. A big pension pot for Balaam. And who knows, maybe a bit of extra straw for his donkey. Well, Balaam earned nothing from this job. He found himself instead compelled to speak. Compelled to speak the words of God and only the words of God. And what happened to Balaam on that particular occasion is what will happen to all on the great day when Jesus Christ returns. Philippians 2 tells us that when Christ returns, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. People will be compelled to speak the truth. The instigators of communism who sought to teach the millions in their nations that there is no God, they will be compelled to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Just like Balaam could say nothing other than what God gave him to say, so all will be compelled to acknowledge that it is truly Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is Lord of all. And so, how much better it is to make that acknowledgement gladly and willingly and voluntarily here in this life, to rejoice that Jesus Christ is Lord. How much better that is than to be compelled to do it in the day of judgment with regret and under compulsion. God will make the godless speak the truth in the end. God will compel them to speak the truth, just like Balaam was compelled to speak the truth. It's better to speak the truth about the Lord now than to wait to be compelled to do it, because that would be a bad thing. Balaam was compelled to speak the truth. The third thing I want you to think about is that we have God's words from a false prophet. Balaam wasn't a man who spoke for the Lord. He was a man who just sought to make money whatever way he could, and he would use whatever words would work and be effective. But he was compelled to speak God's words, and he spoke the truth. It was the word of God that came from his lips. He wasn't a man of God, but he spoke the word of God. Just think of a few things that are here in the words that God gives through Balaam. Chapter 23, verse 8. Balaam says, "How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced?" Those words are echoed by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:33. "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." When God delivers from the curse, when God declares his people to be justified, well, that is the final word. No one can go against what God says. God says that he is well pleased with us. Well, that's it. Doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. "How shall I curse whom God has not cursed?" In chapter 23, verse 19, Balaam teaches us a great lesson about God himself. "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good?" Balaam had the hope in his heart that somehow he could change the mind of God. That instead of God blessing the Israelites, Balaam could get them around, turned around so that he would curse them instead. God says, "Look, Balaam, I'm not like that. I don't change my mind. My mind is made up. My mind is right. It is always set on that which is the very best, and I'm not going to change from that. If I've said it, I will do it. I made my promises to Abraham. I told him what I was going to do. I told him that I was going to give this land to his people, and that's what I'm going to do." Our God is a God who never needs to change his plans and who never thinks of changing his plans. What God has decreed from the beginning, that is what he will do. Nothing different. With God, there will be no wavering. And Balaam declares that. In chapter 24, verse 17, Balaam says about a figure that he sees in the future. He says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel." Here Balaam is looking ahead. He's looking down the avenues of time, and he sees a mighty king that will emerge out of Israel, and it is none other than Christ himself. And God causes this heathen prophet, Balaam, to speak words of truth, even words about the Messiah himself. God's true words come out of the lips of a false prophet. And what Balaam says, we can believe it and we can accept it, not because Balaam says it, but because God gave him those words to speak. And God caused it to be the case that his people would be greatly encouraged by words that came from a prophet who was out to harm them and to profit from harming them. It's God who is great and God who determines how things work out. The last thing I want you to think about in regard to this story of Balaam is about Balaam's death. What became of this man, Balaam? What became of this man who had this really strange experience of encountering the angel of the Lord? That's probably the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What became of this man who had that experience of the Spirit of God coming upon him and filling him with words of truth that he communicated to King Balak? How was his life affected by those amazing experiences? Well, what Balaam wanted for himself is found here in some words that he declares in chapter 23, verse 10. At the end of that verse, he says, "Let me die the death of the righteous, let my end be like his." Balaam wants to die the death of the righteous. That's his desire. That's what he wants for himself. He wants to be numbered along with the righteous. And as they die, so he wants to die. Now, Balaam went from his encounters with the Lord, and he gave counsel to the people of Moab as to how Israel could be led astray. Read on into Numbers, just even at the very start of Numbers 25. We're told how the men of Israel, they're still in the same place, men of Israel began to commit harlotry with the woman of Moab. We're told how the Israelites went to the worship feasts of the Moabites, how they ate, and how they bowed down to the gods of the Moabites, and we're told that the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Numbers 31 tells us about the death of Balaam. That's mentioned in Numbers 31, verse 8. At the end of that verse it says, "Balaam the son of Beor they also killed with the sword." And then in verse 16 it tells us that Balaam was the one who had incited the Moabites in leading the Israelites into sexual immorality. It says there, "Look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord." It was through the counsel of Balaam that the men of Israel fell into sin and a plague came upon the Israelites. The counsel of Balaam led to their unfaithfulness. And that's the kind of man that he was. He went away from being face to face with the angel of the Lord. He went away from having the Spirit of God come upon him and fill him with true words. He went away and he sought the downfall of God's people. Balaam, who had been compelled to speak the word of God, he didn't turn from his wickedness. He didn't repent of his sin. Balaam continued to be his own man rather than becoming the Lord's man. And like all the modern day equivalents of Balaam, he didn't die the death of the righteous. Balaam died as a fool. He died as a fool who was still trying to harm the people of God. And in the end, the curse fell upon him. Balaam had spoken of that. He had said, "Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you." And he had sought to bring God's curse upon the Israelites by one way or another. And in the end, the curse fell upon him. God knows how to deal with those who are perceived as being experts, those who are perceived as being celebrities, those who are being perceived as being people who should be listened to and who should be followed. Who are the experts of our day? Who are the people that are put forward as being in the know? Well, if they are those who are godless, if they are against the truths of the scriptures, well, we should recognize them as being fools who speak against God. And that is not a safe thing to do. God knew exactly how to humble Balaam, how to cut him down to size, how to expose him for what he truly was. And God knows how to do that in our day also. We might just be the donkeys, but we can be the donkeys that speak the truth. Amen.